camp here. I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase, whammy, as in Gene Tennis at the plate, and whammy!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, in studio with us, already amusing to no end, and you can catch him at Hyenas today, tomorrow, and then Sunday with Office Trivia. He's played Todd Packer, Champ Kind. Now he's in studio with us. It is David Koechner. Thank you for coming up today.
God bless you. Now I'm playing a fan. Whammy!
Now,
that's great.
The first question, and I told Corey, there's probably a larger group of people like this than you would think. How often do you get a, hey, you're that guy, you know, like, where do I know you from? And do you decide to help them or do you decide to screw with them in that moment?
It depends on what type of person they're being.
Okay.
I was in the fast lane of a budget rent-a-car because, you know, you pay what, 10 bucks more, you
sure.
Wait in line. And, guy behind me goes, I know who you are. I said, okay. You're Randy Quaid. I said,
oh, yeah.
Oh. I said, no, I'm not. He goes, yes, you are. I said, oh, okay. Then I just shut my mouth, right? And a couple minutes go by. He goes, now I know who you are. I said, good for you. He goes, no, I know. I said, good. Then they realized they're not in fast lane. So they had to get out and go in the long A line. That's like seriously 70 people with one person working. I'm like, yes,
did you
I know
wanna,
who you are.
Yeah, good job.
You're Randy. Yes. Okay. What are you gonna do? Argue with them?
But if they come up to you and they're super nice, and they're
course.
Like, oh my God, I love you in the office,
of
semi pro, like whatever else.
Yes.
Yeah.
I swear to you, I consider it a blessing. You know.
So I have a question about a specific movie that. Maybe it's not like at the top of movies you get asked about.
You might
about.
Get a couple of these, all actually, because...
Right. When you were in the movie Krampus, did you know about Krampus beforehand? Because my co-host, this gentleman right here, Corey Majors, is the person who taught me about Krampus like a few years before that movie came out.
Before the movie
yeah.
came out.
And so when the movie came out, I was hyped to watch the movie because he had told me all these stories. Did you know what that was?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I have to ask him about Corey Majors.
Well, we used to do a thing called The List.
Okay.
And it was a night show when we were a night show. And I found this list on The Chive. And it was like ways to scare the crap out of your kids.
Yes.
And I was like, here we go.
I thought
rock.
You might have had German ancestors.
No. This was just
that's
something that I found.
Point
yeah, that's
too.
A good, yeah,
yeah.
That's a good point.
It's
there.
German folklore. If you're not good, you won't be visited by Santa. You'll be visited by a monster named Krampus. That's what you tell kids. Okay. But yes, have you seen Krampus?
Yeah, it has a...
It's a great movie.
It's been 9 years since it came out, so I'm sorry if I'm messing anything up for anybody. It has a crushingly bleak ending
it's
to
awesome.
It. I really did enjoy it very much.
Yes, but although I call it a family horror movie. Would you agree?
I could see
it's
that.
It's a horror movie. No, you can't often say that.
That's true.
I say it's the four H's. It's a holiday horror with humor and heart.
That's true.
Very rare for a horror picture.
We're just going to spike the downloads for Krampus now.
There are two drops of blood in the entire film. So that's that.
Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
I did not realize
that's all
that.
You see. But yeah, man, it's a good film. We shot that in New Zealand. In Peter Jackson Studios,
really?
Down there that they shot Lord of the Rings, and what's the one after that? The Hobbit?
Hobbit.
It's massive. So all that outdoor stuff, shot inside that studio. That's how big it is. Like at least 2 football fields.
That's impressive.
At least.
Does that ever distract from like when you walk outside and you're like, oh yeah, it's the nighttime and it's June. Like, does that ever throw off your bearings of what's actually happening?
No, because if you're in it, you're in it. I mean, you know. If you're, you know, it's like if you're in a game, you're in it. Fans aren't going to bother you, whatever they're doing, right? Who cares? Here, you're just going to, you're going to a set anyway to do your job.
Yeah.
So the thing, that, to be honest, that would bug me about this particular one is this guy who had something up his person that, you know, if he wanted to have you on set in a minute, you had to be there. Now, I've worked enough to know a minute doesn't mean a minute.
Yeah.
Right? Or one morning he's picking me up and I want to get a cup of coffee downstairs. And there was one person in front of me. He's, time to go. I'm like, I'm going to get my coffee. I'm not an a-hole, right? But come on, dude. Well, you know, if I get there 5 minutes late,
it's ruined.
I'm not getting into the makeup chair for another half an hour.
Yeah.
I know how it works. So why don't you pull whatever you've got up your bottom side out, lick it off, and go wait in the car. But
get them there.
Just real quick.
Yeah. I didn't say any of that. Go ahead.
This is why I want to encourage people to go to Hyenas, because we have already had an off-air conversation. The language variance from off-air to on-air is very impressive.
It is impressive.
Thank you, sir. I'm aware of my rules. I try not to curse too much on stage. There are times where a well-placed F-bomb does enhance a joke. But if you're relying on that to get your laugh, then you don't have an act.
Yes.
You know.
I could see that.
So I saw someone a couple weeks ago. I rarely do shows in LA because I'm traveling so much this year. I got 5 kids. The twins just went to college. So, you know, you make money,
yeah.
Right? And so there was some, I did it. It was, I swear to goodness, it's a comedy pole show. So there's pole dancers.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm in. Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, very odd. I love the look on your face. It's so much confusion. As it should be. Because I was confused too. Like, okay. Because this friend of mine was supposed to be on the show, who I've known for years, but we've never actually met. We've talked on the phone. We've conversed over, Instagram, whatever. But I said, oh, I'll do the show because he's going to be on it. He doesn't make it to town. So now I'm there. And I had to leave town the next morning. And I'm going last. That doesn't mean you're the closer.
Yeah.
It means you're going last. Great. Now, there's a person who went up who used to be a comic. And then that person became a TV show person. I'm going to try and make this as generic as possible. And that person is preparing for a special. And that person had no material, but only for 45 minutes. None.
Oh.
And then that person would use the F-bomb and the audience would titter. When that person was done, they gave that person a standing ovation. I'm like, wow. If it was only that easy.
Yeah. But
I got another bit out of it. I did get a bit out of it because I thought to myself, would Christ go to a comedy pole show? Of course he would. Because he had no judgment. And who was one of his best friends? Mary Magdalene.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Did you just yell out a whore?
Hey, let him tell his story. I'm sorry. Here,
you know you're on radio, right?
Man, who would have thought I would be the problem for this segment?
So anyway, I got a bit out of that has a couple of good jokes that makes the audience a bit uncomfortable, but none of it is disrespectful nor blasphemous. It's just about the everyday goings on of what humans would be like. Stuff like, who would have made the pole for a pole dancer back then? Of course, it's going to be Jesus' dad, Joseph. He's a heck of a woodworker.
Yeah.
It's got to be a very smooth pole. Oh, you got to sand that well.
Splinters, can you imagine?
Yes, sir. Thank you, exactly.
Thighs and everything.
Right?
Like, that's going to be tough. Yes.
Everything carries a lot of weight in that statement.
You said thighs, not what you were thinking.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's best, you know, maybe you set that one out.
That is nice.
But no, I got to, so regardless, you know, you can get a new joke anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's fun for me.
How many dead hookers were there in the trunks on Dirty Work?
I think 3.
Okay. Wait.
There was one in a bunch of cars.
I think there's like 5 maybe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But not in the one trunk. In each trunk of 5 different cars.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. That was one of my like VHS.
Dirty Work.
Watch it over and over. But that leads me to this. When you have a scene and you're reading a scene like that, or you're reading a scene like the bat scene in Anchorman 2, do you see it? Do you see that we're going to get that much laughter out of it?
Well, you hope, and then you do it, and then you're just going to squeeze as much as you can, right? To me, I don't think about it, because do your job, now do it better, right?
Yeah.
So were you in high school when that came out?
I was in high school.
Perfect.
Yes.
There's a certain thing that happens when a young man gets comedy, right? And he goes, oh, like something goes off, right? And you get it. There's a movie I did called The Comebacks. Mm-hmm. Now, how can I delicately say it's not the greatest comedy of all time? But there are guys that were coming of age when that movie came out, and they will come up to me and say it's their favorite movie.
Yeah.
And I never say you're kidding, right? Because I get it. Because my son, Charlie, was 13, I think, when it came out, and it was perfect, right? So, yeah, those are the fun ones.
Yeah. I mean, when you see a guy, you know, pull up and he's mooning and his friend gets out and walks off and now he's stuck, it just sticks with you because you're going to do that to your friends. It's yeah, be of fun. Course.
I was telling a story the other day. Some girls I knew from a very small town in Missouri. And I don't remember if it was snowing out or what the reason was. Very small town. Like, there's nothing to do. So you would drive around and have beers and whatever. I know that's, you never want to drink or drive.
Mm-mm,
but
do that.
They were the crazy group of girls in my class. Very fun. And one of the girls, they just, for whatever reason, they didn't decide to go anywhere to go to the bathroom. I think they're out in the country. So she stuck herself out the window to relieve herself.
Oh, my God.
And proceeded to fall out the window.
No. Oh, my yes. goodness.
Yes. So I think there may have been some snow, which helped the impact. But there were also some rocks
that I'm
sure are still embedded today. But they were all telling the story Monday gleefully at high school. So she didn't go to the hospital. You know, it wasn't like they were going really fast, right? Yeah. So
still falling out of a car.
I did not see that pivot coming when you started that story. We're talking with David Koechner right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Right before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit about Super Bowls because we got to interview you in New York before that Super Bowl where Seattle killed Denver. Sounds like you are a sports fan.
Yes.
Is football your sport?
Football's my thing, yeah.
Do you follow any other sports?
My boys love the NBA. So, you know, I get it from them. I will be, and please, no disrespect, sir. I'm not a huge baseball guy.
Because
here's the thing. I'm from a very small town. We didn't even get games on the radio down there, right?
Okay.
And my dad wasn't into it necessarily. We had three stations growing up when I was a kid. So I wouldn't see that much baseball. So that's probably why, you know.
In the Royals.
Did you see the Jerry Jones news this week?
No, what is it?
Oh,
no. did he step down?
No.
He said he had the power to fire some of our hosts from the morning show.
So when Jerry does those interviews that maybe you hear or see about, that's here at this station.
Okay.
And so that was the big news on Tuesday is Jerry pretty much said, I'm going to fire you guys if you keep kind of grilling me the way you're grilling me.
You guys?
Well,
it's our morning show.
I've gotten cussed at by him a few times already, so I'm trying to stay off that list right now. But yeah, our morning show had to deal with that just a little bit.
Yeah, dude, you got to, I mean, you know, you want to be the owner? You want to make the decisions? Take the questions, dude. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
I think that is a great point.
I'm
not going to cry for a billionaire.
No, not at all.
Remember what Jerry Jones did that interview years ago? He said he prayed, let me win one more. Remember? You see that interview?
Yeah, I know, and he did.
Was it a 34? Yeah.
He won prayed. The Barry Switzer one, right?
And they won it.
Yep.
And guess what?
Yep.
You know, you pray to God, he listens. And so there you go, Jerry. You said, let me have one more.
Just one more.
That's what
he
said.
He didn't say two more. He should have said four.
He said it on air like, dude. So whatever.
You have had some roles that have really stuck with me.
Yes.
Again, like I said, from high school on here as we've gone along, but like, 40-year-old virgin, Talladega Nights, all these roles.
Out cold?
Yeah, out cold, absolutely. Go.
Somebody sent in a text already. They're like, please ask him
that
about
bit,
out cold.
Spinning in a circle and waking up screaming. That's hilarious.
I love the Goldbergs, too.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
You've been this vein that you were kind of in. How did you get the relationships that kept you in that kind of world? Was it the start with the Second City and SNL that kind of built those relationships?
There's no way to say this that will be egoless, okay? But the key is to be funny.
I mean, that makes sense.
You want to know the truth.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Know, that's that. Because, you know, if you're getting your jobs just by being someone's friend, and I see those guys on screen, it's obvious. It's like, well, you wouldn't have gotten that job had you not known that guy, you know. Like when I got Anchorman, they couldn't get me the move. They couldn't hand it to me because like Adam and Will, it was the first time they were doing a movie. So I auditioned. I actually auditioned for Champ and Brian Fantana on same day. Oh. I brought in two wigs. Swear to goodness. Swear to goodness. Brought in two wigs, you know, to make that change in front of the casting director. And then, so it came down to me and three other guys for Champ Kind. I do know two of their names, and I will not tell you. But they were smart enough, Adam and Will, because, again, it's VHS, so they're with the producer of the film, the executive from the from the studio. And so they put in the four different tapes to see who, and they were smart enough not to say, oh, this guy's our favorite, because humans naturally will not go with your pick.
Yes.
Anyway, they put in my tape. The guy laughs. He goes, why not that guy? And they're like, yeah, we think so too. Anyway, so they called me and said, you're going to get a call in about 15 minutes. We're not supposed to call you, but, you know, you got the job. So that was fun. There you go.
How does it feel when you get calls like that versus maybe either? Do they just not call you, or do they tell you, no, you didn't get it?
When you didn't get it, there's just a longer waiting period. And your agent either is a good one or a bad one. Yeah. And calls and says it ain't going to go your way. I'll tell you another story. Do we have time?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I auditioned for a movie, and I worked pretty hard on it. And it was a catastrophe movie, right? Like a drama. And I worked hard on it. And I go in there, there's the director, producer, two producers, and the casting director. I did my thing. They stood up, swear to goodness, gave me a standing ovation.
Really?
And I'm like, that's never happened in my life in a casting session. So I get in my car, I'm driving, you know, I'm so happy. Call my agent and go, book it. Just booked it. You call them. You find out. He goes, they've already offered it to somebody else.
Oh, oh. That was a standing ovation.
You know, I realized why they did that. They know I did a great audition. They knew I wasn't going to get it, so that was my payment.
They were still proud of you. So they were like, yeah, good job.
I hope I never get a standing ovation again. In an audition.
Yeah,
this weekend at Hyenas.
That'd be amazing, yes.
That's required.
Yeah, I'm curious, because one of the things you're doing at Hyenas is on Sunday, you're going to be participating in the Office trivia. Are you surprised what a cultural phenomenon that has become? Because I think we all watched The Office when it was on TV, but it was never the most popular show. Right. Like, people liked it. They're like, oh, yeah, I like that show. But ever since the streaming era, it feels like it has gotten bigger than I ever would have imagined.
You're exactly right. It's the streaming and the availability of it.
Yeah.
And then everybody identifies with one of the characters, because there's so many different ones, and they recognize something from one of those characters that they work with, too. And it is unlike anything I've ever participated in. So a couple years ago, I tour with the same guy, Rob Mayer, every show. He's in Baltimore. I'm in LA, obviously, but we just meet at wherever city we're going to be in, because we work well together. Plus, that way I don't have to meet a new opener every week that interviews me, you know, every time I'm in the green room going, hey, so what's Will Ferrell like? And you're like, oh my goodness. And so anyway, we do a great show together, and he came up with the idea. He goes, you know, The Office is so popular, why don't we just add a trivia show to the weekend?
Smart.
So we said, okay. So he came up with the three rounds of questions. So I'll just tell you how it built out. Through the first one, I was just like, when there's a question, it would jog a memory of a story I'd have. And then I'd tell the story, and you see which ones the audience digs. So through that, I came up with like five different stories, or, you know, it's kind of like a stand-up trivia hybrid show. And so it works, and people dig it, and they love The Office like it's church, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's my wife's all-time favorite show.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, it's a great show.
Yes. I do say it's the greatest trivia show in the country, because I come out hosted as Todd Packer.
Oh, wow.
Do a bunch of Packerisms. There you go. Yeah. Just for a while there. not the whole show. Not the whole show. And then we do some Packers stuff at the top, and then throughout, every once in a while, I'll say, let's dig into the life of Todd Packer, because I'll tell the audience, folks, when I get hired to do a role, I do a deep dive. I want to find out who this character is. That's all a joke. It's Todd Packer, right? So, you know, find out, like, what is his favorite? What's his dream job? I think I can say this on the radio. What would Todd Packer's dream job be?
Federal boob inspector.
Close. Exactly, sir. He would like to be an assistant at a mammogram office.
Oh, yeah. That actually...
pretty much the same thing. Yeah. That's very strong.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, in the end, one of his last ones, I feel like, was when you brought the cupcakes.
Right.
To everybody that had laxatives in them?
I think he laced it with a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Hallucinogens as well.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Laxatives and hallucinogens, that'd be about the worst. I don't know what you're using. You're tripping on a toilet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You were talking about your opener and obviously doing stand-up comedy. I was curious, do you ever have backup stuff in case you're like, I got 10 minutes on this and this isn't going to work? And the reason why I ask is I went to go see Seinfeld at the Windstar in Oklahoma. His opener, I don't know, didn't read up on Oklahoma or anything. And he goes, how about Trump, y'all? And everyone was like, because that's like a hardcore Republican state.
Yeah.
And he goes, I know, right? But he's crazy sometimes. And I was just like, you need to bail out of what you're about to do.
If you can't bring it all, I don't touch politics.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
I mean, there was a time where I was doing it. And then you realize you're splitting the room, especially these days.
Yeah.
You know, the smartphones changed everything. There's no more politeness. There's no more opinions. So that stuff. Well, especially with that guy too.
That's fair. You know? And I'm not, I don't mean this from a political stance.
Yeah.
It just, you could tell the look in his face. Yeah. You could see it when you're like, oh, I don't know what he's going to do now.
Yeah. That's you're starting there.
Yeah.
No way.
He was in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not known as a political comic, I don't think you should touch it.
Yeah, that's we kind of approach that the same way. This is a sports show. We're going to try and avoid as much as we can in that. But in this world of comedy where you can get punted in the trash lands very quickly, how do you approach, like, this is a good quality joke that my audience wants to know?
You're talking about just in general.
Yeah, in general, because you can be canceled quick every now.
I'm never going to do something that's so far out of the mainstream that if it wound up on that horrible rag, that disgusting wasteland of television, TMZ, there you go. if it would wind up there, I would never say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
See what they did? They showed the picture of a dead person yesterday.
That those was guys, awful. The kid from the guy from One Direction,
I've met, who's a lovely human being.
That was I'll tell awful.
You what. Now, so they get to continue. They're the people that cancel people, but the irony is they don't get canceled. That show should be off. Yeah, it's whatever, trash. I can't wait for one of those guys that sits around and does all of their gossiping every day about everybody. One of them is going to get a DUI one day, too. Now let's light it up. You heard about poor Cutler, right?
Yes, he got poor arrested guy. For DUI. Poor guy. Right? Yeah.
Still handsome.
He is handsome. Do you ever think about...
You can blame him for handsome. Would I think about being handsome?
No, never. Kind of.
I would not accept it, sir.
Would you ever think about, I would trade this much talent percentage-wise for this much more handsomeness, or do you think you're maxed out?
No.
Okay.
I'm certainly maxed out on handsome. I'll never max out on comedy.
Okay.
That's a great question, though. I've already been married and divorced, so I do believe now you can decide exactly in your heart and mind what partner you want in life.
Yeah.
And that person's going to come to you.
And you'd mentioned The Comebacks earlier as, like, maybe not the best movie. Is there a movie that still to this day, or TV show or whatever, that you're like, damn it, I stand by that, even if critics and audiences are like, eh.
Well, I don't know one that the audience doesn't like that they know of. So the one that comes to mind that they don't know of is called Cheap Thrills. Now, I'm going to say this three times. It is not for children.
Okay.
Cheap Thrills is a great movie.
Family movie.
It is not for children.
Watch it with the kids.
So you heard me mention the movie Cheap Thrills. It's great. Guess what?
Not for
kids. It's not for kids. Thanks. Anyway, so that's the one I stand by that I absolutely wish got a bigger audience.
Yeah.
I loved Thank You for Smoking.
That's a great one.
It made me look at everything differently.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a movie that when you walked away from it, you were like, I see things a little differently?
In a way. Well, I was a poli sci major.
Okay,
so
all right.
I kind of have an understanding of that
too.
Type of stuff. Were you really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at that. And are you, you're the odd guy out.
Yeah.
three of us are handsome and bald.
Yeah. I have gorgeous hair. I just covered it with a hat today. Yeah.
It'll go one day.
It's hey, look, sometimes I do have movies instead of dreams. It's okay. Yeah, it's all right. We're okay.
But so, yeah, what were we, I'm sorry. I just lost.
Thank you for smoking. Yes. Did it make you look at the world differently?
I was surprised how good it is, because tip to tail, that thing can sail. Yeah. That thing can hold water. That's rare. That, I mean, that whole movie, nothing is amiss. It just works and works and works. But no, it didn't necessarily make me, although I was surprised that Christopher Buckley, his father was a very conservative commentator. This one was more neutral, I would think, more down the middle, that particular book. It's based on a book.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the other reason why it was so good, I think. Because, you know, you've got, and the book's not that long.
Yeah.
So I think that's why all those pieces worked.
Yeah, that was one that, like, the trailer, and it brought me in. And then the movie lived up to the trailer.
And
like,
Aaron Eckhart delivers dialogue unlike anybody.
He was
man,
great.
He okay. can just spit it out. It's just beautiful. It's art the way he does it.
But that almost got me in trouble in my real life. You can probably piece this together just a little bit. I had gone through a breakup with somebody that I had a child with. There is a line in that movie where he says, yeah, because you're not the kid's dad. You're just effing his mom. That I really wanted to use in real life,
right?
But decided that probably was not going to work out super well for me. But he delivers it so perfectly.
It's amazing. But so you didn't say it?
No, I decided.
Yes. I'm actually surprised you didn't.
I know.
Honestly, you know, knowing you as long as I have.
If it was me, I would have made you mad enough.
That's right. True.
I'd tick him off.
Well, I know, but he's not going to break up with you.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That is chemistry.
In the Company of Men with Aaron Eckhart. You ever see that one?
Yes. Oh,
wow.
My God. That movie is.
It's a tough one.
It
folks.
Is.
It's a tough
it
one.
Is. It's so good, but it's you so, feel so terrible
now,
watching
that one
it.
Makes you look at things like. There are guys out there like that. It's rough, but he's so good.
He is.
He's the villain.
I know.
You're still charmed by him.
I am always fascinated by whether it's that or House of Cards, Breaking Bad, whatever. Like the objectively bad person
yep.
doing bad things that somehow gets you to root for them.
Do we not all root for Tony Soprano?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dexter.
Not
this
a good person.
A murderer.
Yeah.
That's, he ruins people's lives.
That is a great
We
point.
Still want Tony to win. That's crazy.
And I did.
I know.
Absolutely, I
know.
Did. Is there anything, obviously, we've been chatting for a while, a lot of stuff about your career. Is there anything else you want people to know about, like, your stand-up shows or why they should come out to Hyenas
In
tonight?
Fact, I'm thinking about going now because
okay.
usually my two boys have baseball tournaments
oh,
and everything.
Wow, okay.
This weekend, they don't. My
All
wife
right.
was actually saying, do we actually have a weekend free where we don't have anything planned? And I was like, I think we do.
So, no, the
so
question
now
is,
I'm like,
all right.
Hey, wife, would you like to go
That's
to
good. Yeah.
a show?
Yeah, I love the way you put it. You're going to ask her if she wants to go.
Yeah.
Rather than going, guess what we're doing?
Yes.
That's great.
For sure. Like,
That's
do
great.
You want to
yes.
go to a show?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Is she a big fan of The Office?
Yes.
Is she might like.
I'm a huge fan of it.
Uh-huh.
She's a big fan of it. Daughter who's 19 in college.
Oh, she'd be. She'd
yeah,
be crazy for it.
Yeah, she
yeah.
loved The Office. We
yeah.
That was a very big show in our household.
Well, then that would be, you know, the one to go to. But,
yeah.
I mean, look. I, what do you do? I'm here. What else are you going to say is except it's great stand-up, right?
yeah.
Look,
Who knows?
This.
Maybe you're like,
I'll tell
okay.
you this. I've been doing show business, I don't know, 35 years.
Wow.
I love show business. I love the highs and lows. I like the haves and have-nots. I like the has and has-beens. I love all of it. But in my heart, I'm a performer, man. I'm on stage. So you're going to get a performance. You know what I mean?
That's
I go
awesome.
Do my job.
Yeah.
So I love doing it. I'm flattered that someone would, you know, be so, you know, bold as to buy a ticket to see me. Because to me, that's, you know, talking about gratitude, right?
Yeah.
That's where you got to be. Like, man, people paid to see you. You better go and just deliver, right? So I will say this. Every once in a while, I do get a little SO. Little standing.
I got you. I got
it
you.
Just a little
okay.
bit.
It happens.
Man, Mike, now I really hope that you go to this show.
I'm just thinking of like when Jim was like, and who hates Todd Packer?
There you go.
This guy.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
He's a terrible man.
Just trying to decide if I would take the wife to see the show or if I watch Cheap Thrills with the family based on what you told
no,
me.
No, not yeah. for the family.
Yeah.
So David Koechner, you can see him tonight at Hyenas, tomorrow at Hyenas, on Sunday. Monday, there'll be the Office Trivia with Todd Packer, as we just learned, in character for most of the way. Thank you very, very much for coming up.
Most importantly, it's a bye week for the Cowboys, so don't sit at home and not remember the Cowboys aren't playing. So you don't have anything to watch, even though if we like football, you're going to watch football all day. But anyway, I think it's almost, I was going to say most of the games will be over by the time of the show, but that's never going to be true. But
you can pretend like it's true.
You should place the Cowboys this week. That's fine. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You're probably going to be much happier when it's over.
What, the show?
Yeah. Then a Cowboys game.
Cowboys fans will be much happier.
They'll walk out being like, oh, that was fun. Man,
I mean, you guys go deep. I'm sure it's such a puzzle.
That's what I've said about
such a puzzle.
Shows, let's say like a comedian, or remember a concert when I saw the Lumineers at Wrigley Field, and I said, you know what? It has to be great to not like sports in a way. When we go into as a sports fan, there's a 50-50 chance we're miserable during it and at the end of it, or that you're really excited with the result. Usually if you go to a comedian or a concert that you're excited about, there's a very high likelihood you're leaving that excited happy at the end.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Of course, you go to a sporting event,
50-50.
It's 50-50. You're going to leave
disappointed.
Not happy. Yeah. And, you know, of course, then there's just the justification that goes on in your head about, it wasn't a conference game.
You know,
all that stuff. But yeah, you're right. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, if you're going to a comedy show, you better walk out smiling. Yeah. Otherwise, if the opposite's true, I don't know what to do.
He ain't gonna lie.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you very, very much. We got to hit the break, but got hyenas, you. Everybody. David, thank you so much for jumping on.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And good luck, Cowboys.
Yes, thank you.
You're an FC. I'm fine with it.